Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to In Faith Network Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and I am excited to welcome back as my co-host, Anita Hickman. Welcome back, Anita.
Thanks, Sheila. I am so glad to be back.
Well, you've missed a couple of great shows while you were vacationing and working and traveling and having a wonderful time. We had the amazing Holly Spears, as you know, on last time. She was very delightful, wonderful voice, wonderful singer. I hope people will check her out. And then the show before that was with an amazing Christian thriller writer, Jeff Strucker. And before that, we had Nita Jackson, who promises to return with her co-writer husband next time. It's just been wonderful, and I'm glad that you're back to enjoy some more with us.
Thank you, and I wanted to throw in here too. Please check out the podcast as well as the blogs on InFaithNetwork.com.
Right, you don't really miss them. We have these live shows, and that's always exciting. And then we have the podcast later. Now, Anita, before we get started, give us a quick rundown of what you've been up to while you've been away.
Well, I went to a writer's conference in Dallas, had a wonderful time with editors and agents and authors. But before that, my husband and I took a cruise to see the fjords of Alaska, and then we also did some hiking and zip lining in Canada, and I'm telling you, it was the best trip ever. So I am glad to be back, but I did have a really good time.
Oh, wow, Alaska, you're like the adventurer I've always wanted to be. You've been crazy busy. But you still found some time to get us a wonderful guest, an incredible guest at that. Tell us who you've brought into the studio with you today, and then let's welcome her to the show.
All right, I'd be happy to. Liz Curtis Higgs is the New York Times bestselling author of nearly 30 books, and she has more than 3 million copies in print. Liz is an international speaker who has given 1,600 inspirational programs in all 50 states and 14 foreign countries. That is amazing. And her messages are biblical, encouraging, down-to-earth, and profoundly funny, helping both sisters and seekers embrace the truth of God's amazing, unchanging grace. We are very honored to have Liz Curtis Higgs on the In Faith Network. Welcome, Liz.
What a blessing to be with both of you. And I'm honored to hear you say for both sisters and seekers. Because at some point we were all seekers before we found the Lord, or as the scripture says, he found us. And so it just thrills me to think about reaching out to that audience, whether it is through the radio or whether it's across the page or whether it's from the platform. My heart is for women, and I'm just going to say that, and I'll apologize to our guys listening, but my heart is for women, just always has been. Love guys, married one and gave birth to one. They're fabulous. But from a ministry standpoint, you know, I'm a chick,
all
and
right.
That's who I talk to. So if
all
you read
right.
my nonfiction, you're going to be stuck with a whole lot of, hey, girlfriend and babe, and, you know, be warned.
Oh, we love it. Viva la sisterhood, right?
Indeed.
Love that. Now, before we go too far, let me just let our listeners know that we do have the live chat session open. We're happy to take any questions there. You can also call into the show at 646-200-4071. And, of course, after the show, as we said, you can always download the podcast. You can come over to infaithnetwork.com. And we always put up a little blog that'll come along with the podcast. Any of the websites we talk about, we'll be sure to have those available. And what's wonderful is if you didn't have time to join us here live, but you listen to the podcast and you have some questions or some comments, you can go ahead and leave those there. We will make sure that Liz gets that information, that you get an answer. And I know we have a lot of listeners who like to check out our guest's website while we're chatting. Maybe that'll inspire you. I guarantee you, if you go over there, you will be inspired to comment or question something. It is at www.lizcurtishiggs.com, LizCurtisHiggs.com. Liz, I
actually
had
a terrible name for radio, by the way. It has too many aspirins in it. Liz Curtis Higgs. It's just a lot to spit out.
But I've had a chance to go over to your website.
Okay.
There's so much there to see. It's a great website. But something that caught my eye immediately that I just have to ask about is the registered trademark or service mark, an encourager. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it is a registered trademark, which is kind of wild, isn't it? But way back, I've been speaking 25 years professionally now, and at the start of that, in 1987, when I became part of the National Speakers Association and began to take those baby steps into speaking, people said, you need to have a word or two that captures what you do. They said, are you a humorist? And I said, well, I'm funny, but I wouldn't call myself a humorist. Well, are you a motivational speaker? I said, well, sort of, but it's really more biblical than that. So you're an inspirational speaker. You understand. This conversation went going. And finally, somebody who heard me said, I know what you are. You're an encourager. And I said, bingo. Well, I liked it so much, I thought maybe somebody else might like it. So back then I had it trademarked. You know, I probably wouldn't do that today as I speak almost exclusively to the body of Christ. But when I began speaking, I spoke to everybody. I spoke to people in real estate and insurance and healthcare and education. Wherever there was an audience of women gathered, I was likely to be there. And so I didn't have to hide my light under a bushel, I'm very grateful to say, but it wasn't quite so straightforward and right out there, hi, I'm going to teach you the Bible today like I do now. So an encourager mostly got people to ask the question, just like you did, what does an encourager mean? Such that I could say to them, well, it comes from the French, encourage, and it means to fill the heart, and my heart is full of the goodness of God, of his kindness and his grace and his mercy, and I try and pour all that out over an audience. And so it allowed me a way to share my faith. And Barnabas, of course, is called the son of encouragement, so I guess I'm a daughter of encouragement. How about that?
I love it. I love it. Now, I know Anita has a lot of questions for you, so I'm going to turn the mic over to her while I check out your website a little bit more, and if we have time, I'll probably come back with a few more questions for you. The mic is yours, Anita.
Thanks, Sheila. Well, first of all, Liz, I saw you speak, and you had people deeply moved, weeping. And then at other times, I would say they were pretty much rolling in the aisles laughing. In fact, right after I heard you speak, I went up to you and I said, Liz, on the day you were born, there must have been a solar flare.
I remembered that. Where were you 25 years ago? I could have had Liz Curtis Higgs solar flare.
Listen, you're welcome to use it. Just like I told you that day, you're welcome to use it if you need it for a brand or anything, because I still hold to that truth. You are an amazing person and speaker, and so I'm sure listeners would love to know how in the world you got started with this incredible speaking ministry.
Well, I came to know the Lord exactly 30 years ago. It's kind of a big year for me, Anita. It's 30 years of knowing the Lord, 25 years of speaking, and 20 years as a published author. And I'm not sure what all those fives are about, but there they are. 30 years ago, when I had this transition, this transformation, better word, that only God could have orchestrated. I was a radio personality at the time and working at a secular radio station, and people even listening on the air thought, wow, something is different about Liz. And, of course, my coworkers really saw the difference. This wild woman who left on a Friday saying, party, and who came in on Monday morning saying, praise the Lord, I've been baptized. You know, people really do notice stuff like that. And so because of that, my pastor said, Liz, would you share your testimony? Well, I didn't even know what a testimony was. And I said, you don't mean you want me to tell the way my life used to be with the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing and how it is now with the Lord? He said, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. And my fear was that nobody would ever talk to me again. But I somehow managed the courage, which obviously would only be the Lord, and got up to speak. I spoke for 5 minutes. This was, I remember well, Thanksgiving Eve, 1982. And in that 5 minutes, though I was a nervous wreck, I had such a mantle of peace fall on my shoulders, and I sat back down, and my minister said, Liz, I believe this is what God is calling you to do. And I said, no way, baby, I haven't eaten in 3 days. Obviously, I got over that. But just, it was one of those, you know that you know that you know. It just had such a peace about it. 5 people came up to me after that event and said, we would like you to speak and share your story at our church. And so from that, it all began. I didn't really go out looking for opportunities. They just seemed to keep coming my way. So after 5 years of those kind of opportunities, I finally took the big leap of faith, left radio, and went into speaking full-time, as I say, 25 years ago. Scary. I was also expecting our first child, but God was kind. He grew my speaking as he grew my children. So in the beginning, I needed to be home, and that was perfect because nobody hired me. It was such a slow one a month and two a month and three a month. God has been very gracious to me to take care of me and brought a publisher to my door, all of that, so that I could focus on serving and loving him.
What a beautiful story. Oh, I love that, and I know the listeners did too. Well, you are also, not only a gifted speaker, but you're very funny too, and not all people are, but you are. So where did you get this? Do your family members have it? Is it in your genes? What's going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. I come from an all-funny family. I mean, my family in this little tiny town in eastern Pennsylvania, we were known as a funny family. There were six of us. My parents were funny. All my brothers and sisters were funny. I was the youngest, so you have to understand, I was the least funny. Because when you're the baby, it's like, oh, be quiet, we're all much better than you. But in my family, you had to be funny or you were asked to leave, seriously. And so we've all married people who have at least an appreciation of a sense of humor, even if they aren't themselves funny. But it was currency in my family. In some families, it's how big your grades are, how high your grades are, or, how much money you make, or what your looks are like. But in my family, it was funny. If you could make the family laugh, that's where your gold stars came from.
That's terrific. I love that. Well, that brings me to the wrap that I saw on video. Oh, wow. You were doing this wrap of the story of Ruth out of the Bible, and it was hysterical. So what made you think to put the Bible story in the form of wrap?
Well, I taught the Book of Ruth. Of course, I've been immersed in the Book of Ruth because of my new book, The Girl Still Got It, and for the last 5 years. 4 years ago is when I first taught it as a Bible study. Well, you know how Bible studies work. You go the first week, and then you miss a week, and then you come back. And I wanted a way at the start of each class to wrap up what they had missed from the week before, just to summarize it, even for those who were there. Just a good, quick catch-up. Fast, easy, doesn't bore the people who were there the week before. So I'm sitting here at my computer, and I'm thinking, how could I wrap it up? Well, of course, then, I guess I could wrap it. And so I came back the second week with the first week wrapped up, three or four little verses. And they fell out. I mean, they were so responsive. So by the second week then, they were ready. I mean, they were all sitting up just ready for the wrap. Obviously, I made the mistake of mentioning this to my publisher when we were working on the nonfiction book on Ruth. And I said, if I get the nerve, I'm going to record this and put it on YouTube. Well, obviously, they encouraged me to have the nerve to do it. And so back in February, I think it was, I was in Little Rock. Why not rock it in Little Rock? And I didn't tell the audience. I taught on Ruth all weekend, didn't tell them what was coming. This video guy jumped up at the end, and I just started snapping, and they started clapping, and into the righteous Ruth rap I went. So fun. Now, they clapped to the beat, which is really dangerous because they picked up speed.
I was wondering about that.
So by the end of it, I could just about breathe, but it was way fun. And, I had to finally skip some of their beats because there was no way I could do it and breathe.
Well,
but did add energy to it anyway.
It did indeed. That rap was way fun. And so I know that our listeners are going to want to know where they can see that online. Can you tell them where to go?
Yep, YouTube is the place to find it. Just go to YouTube, type in Righteous Ruth Rap, and alas, it will appear. It's the whole Book of Ruth in 4 minutes. It is kind of fun. And, it's interesting how something like that will reach a whole different group. I had one blogger whom I don't know where she found it, how she got there, but she wrote a blog about it, and she said, we have an up-and-coming Christian rapper. I thought, yeah, she's up, she's coming, and she's gone. That will be it. I don't think there'll be another rap, but you never know. Sometimes you just get into a groove and you go for it.
Well, we'd love to know more about this new book that's on Ruth, and that is a great title, by the way. The Girl Still Got It. Great title.
Well, you have to say it with a snap at the end. It's, you know, the Girl Still Got It. Bang, you know, and put a little snap there. Fun. I was grateful to have a zippy title come to my mind because it just, first of all, that's me. That, I mean, when you write a book called Bad Girls of the Bible, you better have something that's kind of zippy. But also, I think, hope, pray, it captures the heart of Ruth. Ruth walked this earth about 3,200 years ago. So she's old. Her story is old. However, she still got it. And for that matter, her story never gets old. It is ever refreshing and ever teaching us.
Well, we have to talk about Bad Girls of the Bible because that is so what you're known for, too. So I just have to say, you know, it was such a huge success. Did you ever imagine that it would take off like that, Liz?
Never in a million years, of course. In fact, I can remember when I came up with the idea, I was standing in Michigan on the platform with another wonderful speaker whom I love, a little more serious than me. That's how that usually works. If I'm with another speaker, they're quite deep and serious, and I'm sadly, I'm me. But anyway, she said to the audience, I'm writing a book about women of the Bible. And, of course, I'm only going to write about the good ones. Well, when it was my turn to speak, I just couldn't resist. I said, off the top of my head, having given it no forethought, well, okay, cutie, then I'm going to write a book called Bad Girls of the Bible. And 1,000 women exploded in laughter, and I looked up to the heavens, and I said, Lord, is this you? Because it just fell into place. It was like, well, of course I would focus on the bad girls. I'm a former bad girl, an FBG. And I've always had a certain amount of compassion for those women. Even, I know this will shock you, but even Jezebel, because she was bright, powerful, connected, probably beautiful. She had so much going for her. If she only had worshipped the right God, think what a powerhouse like Jezebel could have done for the kingdom. Unfortunately, that's, she worshipped the God her father worshipped, the wrong God, the false God. And you know, it's just such a morality tale for all of us, what she could have been and, of course, how she ended up, which is an ugly story. So so that's where Bad Girls came from. And I had 20 women picked out. Well, only 10 fit in the book. My publisher said, wow, this is good, 10? I said, but I have to write about the other 10. They said, fine, do another one. What do you want to call it? And I said, oh, I don't know, really Bad Girls of the Bible. I guess I could have called it More, but, you know, that didn't strike me as particularly exciting. Really is really fun. So then, of course, we had Slightly Bad Girls of the Bible. Because I kept discovering more women in the Scripture with fascinating stories who just didn't quite fit in any category. Now, the truth is, if I knew then what I know now, I would have divided them up differently. Jezebel, of course, would have belonged in Really Bad Girls of the Bible. And there are others who were in Really Bad that probably belonged in Slightly Bad. But, you know, you just don't get to redo things in the publishing world. Once it's out there, there you go.
Well, you know, you were talking about Bad Girls and being able to relate to them. That brings me automatically to the next question. I mean, can you give us a little bit of that? I mean, how much can you relate to Bad Girls of the Bible? And how did you, you know, come to find the Lord? A little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, you know, He is so patient. That is all I have to say. God is so incredibly patient. I grew up in the church, not deeply involved, but a member, showing up on Sunday like a good girl would. But at 16, I turned 16 in 1970, and I'll spare everybody the heavy-duty math because, you know, they're thinking, okay, what is she now? She is 58 now. But to turn 16 in 1970, when really the lid blew off most of our morals by then, we had the pill that was available. Pot rolled into our small town in Pennsylvania. Drugs became available. And so it was a lot of challenges for a girl who wasn't deeply rooted in the Word or in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I went off on my own for 10 years, that whole prodigal daughter out in the far country, living in a pig pen. But faithful God, He waited till I hit bottom. He waited till I came to the end of myself. When I tried every way to be happy and realized there was no real happiness there, nothing of any significance, nothing that had peace attached to it. Mm-hmm. And then when I was ready, God kindly brought into my life two wonderful people, radio personalities, as a matter of fact, husband and wife duo. I was doing radio at the time, and they came into my life. I'm sure they took one look at me and thought, aha, here's a project. but they didn't treat me like one. You know, they just loved me. They loved me where I was. They didn't judge me. They didn't tell me to clean up my act. They just embraced me, literally. I always say they hugged me into the kingdom. And so because of that, I realized what the love of Christ really looked like and felt like. They pointed me to the Word all the time. They filled me up with this Word and made me so desire a Bible of my own. I can remember driving through a snowstorm in early February 1982, driving through a snowstorm to get to a Christian bookstore, like literally 5 minutes before they closed, and I ran in and said, I want a new, they had written it down for me, a New American Standard Bible Ryrie Study Bible. And they said, fine. And they pulled one off the shelf and put it in my hands, and it's still, I have all many translations now, but that's the one that still means the most to me because it has my heart written on those pages as I would discover a verse for the first time and go, oh, look at this truth, look at this good news. Very precious.
You know, and everything that you said, what struck me most was when you said you were hugged into the kingdom, and I just thought, there's a new book for you, you know, because it could be on witnessing, because there's so many Christians, I think, out there who really don't know how to witness, and they really do need some good tips. And anyway,
well, I've actually written that book.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
I did. No, that's fine.
What
was several years ago. Several years ago, it's called Embrace Grace, Welcome to the Forgiven Life.
Oh.
And it is a book about just that, about embracing, because I love that hug analogy of being hugged by God. When I speak to the audience and I say, imagine his arms are around you right now, you can see on their faces the awareness of that. That's what grace is. It's an embrace. It's a hug. And so he holds us close and he whispers in our ear the truths that we want to know. And so, you know, it's really the gospel. I walk people through and we start in an odd place. We start with embrace doubt because you just have to sometimes say, you know what? I don't know if I believe all this. That's a fine place to begin.
Mm-hmm.
It's that seeker heart. I want to know, but I don't know. And I step it through. One of the chapters is embrace sin, which kind of shocks everybody. But until you are at a place where you can say, I know I need a Savior, you need to get to that place before you're willing to feel his arms around you and sense that embrace of grace. So, and then, of course, the last chapter is embrace grace, and it is giving it away, you know, because the whole idea is not to hoard this wonderful truth to yourself, but fling your arms open and give that gift to the world. And so, yeah, so that is a real book of my heart. Actually, they all are. That's the challenge. I'm at my 30th book now. Everyone is precious to me like a child because I learned something in the process of writing them. Of course, I write for my readers first and foremost, but the truth is, God is going to teach me something while I'm writing. He always does. Oftentimes, I go into the thing not even sure entirely what the theme is I'm reaching for, but somewhere along the way, maybe about page 50 or so, it starts to sink in. This is a book about then I know, then I'm sure.
That is beautiful. I love every word of that. But I guess I do need to switch gears here real quick because we've got to talk about A Wreath of Snow, and I want to talk about this new Christmas novella. It has the most irresistible cover, and I know the listeners would love to hear you talk just a little bit about this new story.
Well, and there's a perfect example of a book that I wasn't sure entirely what the theme, the deep message was going to be as I got into it. You get to know your characters, and you do that on the page. They reveal themselves to you. Every time they open their mouths, every time they do something, you go, oh, wow, okay, that's who you are. But at some point, my characters will sit down and say to me, can we just talk, Liz? Because there's something about me you don't know. And when these characters did that and I realized what their heart needs were as characters, I realized this is a book about forgiveness. And, you know, at Christmas time, that makes so much sense because for a lot of us, Christmas is hard. Christmas is not all joy and light and happy and ho, ho, ho. Maybe it's hard to go home because your home is dysfunctional or you have no home to go to. Both my parents are deceased. The house they lived in has been sold. You know, there's a tiny, tiny bittersweet piece of Christmas for me that I couldn't go home if I wanted to. And so there's that aspect, the going home and maybe the disappointment there. And then there's the people that maybe you have not kept a great relationship going with, or there's anger that's unresolved, or there's hurts that have never been addressed. And there's forgiveness that's needed. And so this little Christmas novella, and novella tells you that it's a small book, You've got to get a whole lot into those pages. I usually write 150,000 word novels, big, fat, juicy historical novels. But for this one, the challenge and delight was to offer a sugar plum, a small, sweet taste that would help our hearts prepare for Christmas. And so that's what Aretha Snow, it's an historical set in the Victorian time period, 1894, love it. In Scotland, of course, that's where all my historicals are, love it. I have been there several times to research in Stirling, Scotland. And so it's a little gem of a story. I hope readers will not only enjoy it for themselves, but obviously that beautiful packaging is for a point. We would love you to share this with someone as a gift.
Oh, and I'm sure they will. Oh, yeah. Beautiful story. It just sounds so lovely. And it will lead right into the next question about Christmas at your house. I'm sure you have some lovely traditions and things. And so what does Christmas look like at
the Hicks house?
Yeah.
We have several silly little exercises that we go through, traditions. Decorating the tree is always a big deal. We have one particular CD we put on. We, you know, everybody's tired of it by the end of the night because it just keeps replaying and replaying until the tree's done. But when we hear those opening notes, really everybody gets excited. Now, I have to tell you what my daughter does because it's just a stitch. When she was a little girl, we would get the tree skirt out. We use a real tree, and we'd get the tree skirt out. She misunderstood what it was for. She was sure it was a cape to be Superwoman. So she would put this cape around her neck, you know, with the holly on it, and run through the house. Well, she's 23, and she still does that every year. We would be disappointed if she didn't. I know. It's crazy. She's never allowed me to film this. Don't look for this on YouTube. But it's fun. It's just fun. And I think the biggest deal about Christmas is being together. And so as my family has matured, the kids are 23 and 25 now, Christmas has taken a bit of a different shape. There aren't a million little packages under the tree like there used to be. There tends to be one big one. But it's the being together. We have a very specific menu of very Kentucky kind of foods that we make. So there's corn pudding, and there's spoon bread, and there's country ham. And there are green beans cooked in bacon till everything is wilted. you know, all the kind of Kentucky foods here, and it's just a special time, isn't it?
Well, I love Chris. I have to ask you. I'm going to interrupt for just a second because I can see we're down to 2 minutes. Now, are you in Kentucky, Liz?
Yes, I live in Louisville, out in the outskirts of Louisville. We live in an old farmhouse built around 1875. It has been, fixed up and whatever, but it still has one little quirk after another. That's the charm of an old house to me.
I live in Kentucky. You and I are going to have lunch. I will be contacting you later because
I love
that. Is just, I had no idea you're like a neighbor.
Yes, indeed, right here.
Well, Anita, I'm gonna try and wrap us up because as I knew this would happen, we have had such a great time that the time just kind of got away from us. But Liz, can you just tell us real quickly where can people connect with you online?
Easiest place to find me, of course, is my website, www.lizcurtishiggs.com. Got a blog going right now. We are walking through the Girls Still Got It. It's a Bible study blog and a total joy to share on that each week. I'm on Twitter at Liz Curtis Higgs. I'm on Facebook at Liz Curtis Higgs. And just because I don't have enough going on in my life, I'm also speaking a lot. I'm off to Women of Faith this weekend, several weekends this fall with them, and Women of Joy next spring. I am totally blessed to connect with readers face-to-face across the page or from the stage. It is an honor and a blessing. And I answer all my own email. I respond on Facebook. I am right there for you. I have never figured out how you could hire somebody to do that, because it's my heart that I want you to see, and it's your heart I'm grateful that you share.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing your story and your book and your humor with us.
Absolutely. And if you didn't get to all the questions, that's entirely my fault, because I can do 2 hours without a topic. So
that just means we have to bring you back.
Yes, that's right.
Anytime, girls. It is truly a delight to be with you. Grateful for your encouragement.
Thank you. And Anita, of course, it's wonderful to have you back, and I look forward to our next show.
I am, too. We're going to have Tori Martin, a Christian comedian, on next month's show, so I'm really looking forward to that, too. But Liz was marvelous.
Oh, yes, very fun. And, of course, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in, and we hope to have you tune in again. Don't forget to check out www.infaithnetwork.com tomorrow for the blog and the links, and we'll try and even get that video up there, the rap video up there, and you can ask questions and comment, and we'll make sure that Liz gets all of that. I'm Sheila English, your host, and have a great week, everybody.
In Faith Network Radio, blessings through entertainment, www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.